Well, hi, Roberto. Seems like a few days, but I guess it's been about 3 weeks since I talked to you on the telephone and told you that I would send this cartridge on down. But in the meantime, I found that part of it had somehow become erased, and it was the early part of our conversation, and I was talking about times when I remembered in Brownsville when you were over here and I asked you if you wanted to go fishing. You're ready to go on the weekend, and usually you'd always been ready until that time. And I recall, Dad, you see, seems like I have some other plans. Well, since I talked to you before, I've been down to Mexico City, and as I anticipated, my friends over there didn't have any money to come up with on the payment, but say that they think they will have by the end of January, so we'll see how that works out. Also, discovered I'd really been missing something on the duck hunting. I wanted to tell you about that. This duck hunting up the bay was terrific. The last few days of the season, I went up there and didn't have any trouble at all, killing my limit of all pintail drakes that were nice and fat, big, real nice big ducks. And they've been really delicious to eat. I only wish there was a bit longer time left to shoot some more. Got a few geese, too. This tape is the one, of course, that I taped while you and I were talking at Christmas time, just before Christmas, and began shortly, so I found that there was some part of it that had been either erased or I'd started a little late on the tape. I went ahead and decided to put this message on here ahead of the other. So I'm going to ring off here in a minute so that you'll soon come to the part where you and I were talking on the telephone. In the meantime, well, everything's not much different down here than what it was when I talked to you. I talked to Louise on the New Year, and right after I talked to you, I talked to Bob, or to Dick, excuse me. I guess he told you about that. at any rate, we about reached the end here, so I'm going to ring off, so I won't erase any part of the conversation we made on the telephone. Over and out.
Hey, Dad, I have some other plans for Saturday night.
Well, who did that?
Huh?
Who did that?
I should have had a tape recording of that.
That must be me, I guess. Huh?
That was you.
Incidentally,
I got a recorder on this one.
You got a recorder on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, I better watch my language then.
Well, it's just for personal use. I didn't intend to publish it or anything.
No blackmail, huh?
No. Do you have a tape recorder?
No.
Well,
I have one at the office, but it's not here. I'm at home.
What is it, a roll or a cassette type?
There's both down there. We have one cassette and one the regular kind. The regular kind is mother's, and the cassette is one we have. Well, do you have a cassette?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, I bought one. They're not very expensive. I really bought it for business use, and I've been keeping it here hooked up. I've got a little telephone hookup, and I got an AC an AC outlet, you know, for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I've been, you know, when you make these long-distance telephone calls, you talk, I talked down there to Sunny, and I talked to Mexico City, I talked to people I sell shrimp to, and so I decided, you know, it'd be a pretty good idea to record those things, and not, then when I want to go back and listen again, well, sometimes you pick up things you don't hear the first time.
That's for sure.
That's already happened several times. And,
yep.
You can use these little cassettes over and over again, so I just I bought a little Norelco, and they're real handy also. That's a real handy little thing to carry with you to make notes and so forth.
Yeah, my boss has a Norelco.
Yeah?
The one we have done work, I think, is it's a foreign make. But it still works.
Oh, yeah. But anyhow, the reason I asked that, I might send you a letter on one of these little things, or on these little cassettes, or send you a copy of this.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Well, it's not difficult. I can make a copy of it. Well, it's a little trouble because I have to take it off on another one, and then, in order to have two copies, I'd have to take it. Record it on a roll film type I have, and then re-record it back through this little cassette deal. But that's no problem.
Yeah, I'd like to have one. Might do one of this conversation.
Huh?
You might do one of this conversation.
That's what I was talking about re-recording. I would have to do it that way.
Yeah.
Well, how's all the family?
Oh, they're fine. We've had the usual sicknesses and sore throats and all that jazz, but we're still all in one piece. Right now, everybody's healthy.
Still just four.
Yeah, they're still just four. However, however, that might change in the future. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. We're in a question mark about it right now.
Well.
So if we go for number three, that's it for me.
Maybe I'll have another little granddaughter. Who knows?
If we have another child, that's what it'll be.
That's what you're gonna order, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Because kind of miss having a little girl around.
Well, you know, I've often remarked that it's hard to choose between. Little boy and little girl, a daughter or a son, because they're so different. People have asked, you know, well, which did you get the most enjoyment out of? I like a boy. You like to rough him up and play with him and go fishing with him and things like that. But on the other hand, there's nothing like a little daughter to climb up in your lap and give you a kiss and a hug. They're just all different. You find out when you get one.
Well, it's an unfair question to say which one is best.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's like, what do you like better, eat an orange or go fishing? Speaking of fishing, have you done any lately?
I sure haven't, Bob. I've been about halfway afraid to go out there in the bay for fear of running into one of them dang trout lines, and then I haven't had much time to do anything and like that. I was down in Mexico a whole lot here this summer, and I finally made a deal to get rid of that freezing plant, I hope.
You did, huh?
But I haven't gotten anything to speak of out of it yet. I finally wound up by turning it over to some people over there to operate, and they're supposed to pay me out over a period of time. But it doesn't look too encouraging right now. There hasn't been much production down there, and I'm going to have to go down to Mexico City. Have a meeting with them, and I'm afraid they're going to say, well, that we can't meet the payment that's due on the 31st. So that I'm just guessing about that, because I have to go down there, going down on the 2nd, and have a meeting with them next day.
Did you get it down?
Huh?
Did you get it down? Down payment?
Well, a very minor one. It took about all that to satisfy some bills that were against things over there, and then they're supposed to make a big payment on, relatively big payment on December 31st, and then still a bigger one on June the 30th. But I'll tell you what I did. I'm not too concerned about the money. I don't want the dang thing back, that's for sure. But I had a hell of a time trying to keep the thing going as long as I did. And Freddy Gutierrez, that guy I had down there, he flat fixed us up, but good. He bought about 200,000 pesos worth of all kinds of supplies and so forth for a boat that he had in his wife's name, and we couldn't touch it. He signed the valleys for it, but all the assets are in his wife's name, and we couldn't do a damn thing about it.
No such thing as community property down there.
There is, but depends on how you're married in Mexico. And he wasn't married in a manner where we could touch anything that belonged to his wife. So there's still some hopes yet of getting some of it by bringing a criminal action against him. But we've got a case pending down there now that's civil. That we're trying to wind up, and now the lawyers might bring that, but it's a mess, I'll tell you that.
You're trying to get his boat, right?
Huh?
You're trying to get the boat, right?
Well, what we're trying to do, what we would do in this case, would be to bring a penal action against him for fraud, for equivalent of grand larceny, theft, and in the hopes that he would be willing to make some restitution to get the thing dropped near his family. His family, or his father-in-law, is a wealthy man, and he's got money that used to be ours. No question about that. About $1 million worth.
Good grief.
So I had to make any kind of a deal I could, to be honest about it. It was just, I couldn't go any further. I couldn't meet the bills. We had embargoes breathing down our neck, and tax office threatening to lock the place up, and all that. So I made that deal, knowing that there was some risk involved, that these people might not be able to make it, but I have most of the biggest part of the assets I have in escrow, so they can't touch them until they're paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too concerned, because at the same time I insisted on a sales contract, and I have that sales contract in effect, and make a commission on the shrimp, and they pack it under our label, and also they have to pay me rent on the thing, so I'll have some income from it, even though they don't make that payment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get more out of it selling it as a going business. You went selling off the assets a piece at a time.
Well, that's what I did, actually. But I wouldn't turn those assets over to them.
You sold it as a going business, didn't you?
Huh?
You sold it as a going business, right? Yeah.
But I didn't turn all the land and property and so forth is in escrow, so they can't touch that until it's all paid for. But they do have the operation of the business itself. It was sold as a going business, of course, and that's the freezing plant, and if they If they make it, all right. If they don't, well, then the worst thing could happen, I guess, is that we'll get it back on our hands. And, of course, there could be a lot of indebtedness, but there's one thing about it that it was so bad off that in that respect. We owed so much money that they had to pay a lot of those obligations immediately, and which they did. Otherwise, they couldn't have kept the doors open. The creditors would have closed the dang place. So now there's still quite a bit of indebtedness against it, and I don't think there are any creditors that will give them any big credit. So I don't see how the well, if we had to take it back, of course, the only way I could see to take it back apparently would be to take back the land and buildings and so forth, fixed assets, and not the company. Although I don't say that for sure, the company might be liquid, but I would offhand say that it'd be better to form a new company and start over again if we had to. But I hope they'll make it.
How's the production been?
Lousy.
Oh boy.
That's been the big problem. Carmen's in a hell of a shape. Everybody down there is people that were good condition, good shape a year or two ago, got bad checks floating all around. It was kind of a 1-2 punch in our case. We were already hurt, and then all of a sudden, boom! We discover that we got all this indebtedness to meet that we actually didn't accrue as far as the company's concerned. It was accrued for the part of Gutierrez. And I like paying for a dead horse, you know.
Wow. Well, you've had nothing but luck with the people you've had down there, haven't you?
Boy, that's the truth. Well, how are you getting along in your insurance racket?
Oh, moving along pretty good.
You're tearing them up, huh?
Yeah, I've been doing real well. I mean, I haven't made $1 million yet, but next year it looks real good. I've sort of come into my own. As far as being an insurance man.
Well, you know, that I of course have realized all along that that's a real good business, but it takes time to build up a clientele. You remember Tom Lapham? He was Madeline Gordon's husband. That was my mother's oldest sister was Gordon, you know. They were in Wyoming, and he had a New York Life up there, I think it was. And he retired when he was about, well, I guess around 45 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah. He did a terrific job up there on life insurance all over that. He had that whole area around Rawlings, Wyoming, and I remember. He used to love to fish, and Aunt Emma used to tell us when she came back from there that he had a trunk fixed in his car with all of his fishing gear in there and racks for his in his trunk. He had racks put in there to put his rods on, and he'd go all around there selling insurance, and then he'd stop and fish some favorite stream somewhere. And at any rate, he did real well, you know. What he did was build up enough insurance that he had income from those premiums, and that he was able to retire on it. Went to San Diego and living over there like a gentleman.
Yeah, the renewals build up.
Yeah.
So that you're receiving an income on the stuff that you sold in the past. Yeah, worked out pretty nice that way.
Well, I'm sure glad you're doing well. You know, I received a card here from not till I get it open. W.J. Clark.
Hey, he's the vice president of our company.
Yeah. Did you know that they sent that announcement that you were in school over there?
I know they sent out a number of announcements, and I was pretty sure you got one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was at school in Massachusetts last September.
Yeah, September September 7th to the 12th.
Right.
I was not very far from there at that time. I was in Buffalo, New York.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, September hell, the 8th. Hell.
I didn't know that you were up there, of course, until I got back here. I got this, of course, after you were up there. I went up to Buffalo the 8th, yeah. And then went up to Niagara Falls on the 9th. So I wasn't very far from Massachusetts.
I was in New York City on the, the 12th through the 13th. I spent overnight in New York City.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I left Buffalo on that same day, the 12th, and went down to Atlanta.
Well, what the heck were you doing all over that place?
Well, I was looking for, I went up there to see a customer in Buffalo, and then I went down to Atlanta to look at an ice plant that was for sale over there for some people in Mexico. And then from there I went to Houston on, I was looking at my calendar here a while ago because I knew those dates corresponded, but I couldn't remember offhand just how close. But, on the 8th I was, I went to Buffalo, and I was in Buffalo on the 8th and the 9th, except that my customer up there, Bob Hines, took me over to Niagara Falls, insisted I see it in Niagara Falls while I was up there. Just about less than a half-hour drive from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then we crossed over into Toronto and went up in that Skylon thing above the falls. Beautiful, 700 feet above the falls. You sit up there and go around in a circle in a cafe. Thing takes you around, keeps revolving.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the 10th I went to Atlanta. And the 11th I went to Houston, and then on the 12th up to Amarillo. And the same day I went to Amarillo and back to Dallas, San Antonio, back to Brownsville on the day of the 12th. That was the end of the week. That's when you were in New York.
Right.
That was a Friday.
Yeah, I went to visit an old high school friend of mine.
Huh?
I stayed overnight with an old high school friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a fellow by the name of John Gaines. I went to high school with
him. Huh.
I've known him since I was in the fourth grade. And his wife lived there. He's trying to crack the New York stage, so that's why. I was there. I was in Massachusetts twice. I was there in September of 69, and I was there in July of 68 also. I was back there for a week.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, for a different school.
Uh-huh. There's
no announcements went out on that one.
Well, when are you going to come down to Brownsville?
Gee whiz, to coin a phrase, it's hard to get away from the business.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it lately, but boy, I've been so busy trying to build up something here that I haven't really taken any time off. Except
well,
to go back to these schools, and they're only a week.
Well, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You'll get it to the point where maybe in another few years you can even hire yourself an assistant. Then you can take a little time off.
Well, I think in another couple of 3 years I'll have enough renewals built up to where I can, and enough confidence in myself to where I can take a month off, without worrying about it, or 2 weeks, or whatever.
You know what I've been wanting to do for a long time, for the last several years, I've been thinking that if I could ever get things arranged where I could get away for in the summertime, I was thinking about, I'd like to wire over there and have you and Dick and your families come over to Colorado and camp up there in the summer and do some trout fishing. And eat. But, gosh, I was in Mexico. I went down there in June, and I was down there about 3 weeks the first time. And then I came back for 10 days, and I went back down there in in July, and I was 5 weeks before I got back.
Yeah, I know. It's tour down there quite a bit.
Trying to get that darn deal closed down there where, well, mainly where I wouldn't take too much chance of losing everything we had in that thing.
Yeah, well, that would have been a shame, wouldn't it? All those years.
Well, it, I suppose, I should have, I just didn't have the courage of my convictions to go down there and fire that guy when I should have. Anyhow, that's water over the dam. That's much damn thing I can do about it now.
Yeah, it really is. Like crying over spilled milk now.
Yeah, like I told a guy that, friend of mine in Mexico, that I certainly learned a lesson. I never would operate a business again without having it audited periodically and know what's going on. He said that reminded him of a story that Mark Twain wrote about the guy that was going to get hanged, and they asked him if he had any last words, and he says, "Well, I've certainly learned my lesson."
Yeah. The gate's closed, the horse is gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad idea. You're meeting somewhere like that to go trout fishing. It'd be difficult for us to spring my family's loose, but Dick and I might be able to spring loose sometime. We've been trying to do duck hunting down here.
Yeah.
And in fact, we went last Saturday. But unless you belong to a duck club over here, it's pretty tough.
Well, I guess I don't know, but every once in a while I read about them. Do you ever read the Field Stream and Outdoor Life?
No, I don't.
Every once in a while I read some article about duck hunting in California, and it seems like somewhere up there in the Sacramento Valley that they have some public hunting places. They're, well, maybe it costs you $5 or something for a blind, you know.
That's what we do. We go on the public shooting grounds. It's $3.50 to get on the public shooting grounds.
Yeah? Does that include a blind?
No. No, there's no blinds. You make your own blind in the tulies.
Uh-huh. Will you get some ducks?
Oh, opening day, Dick got four mallards, a couple of sprig. I got a couple sprig and a couple teal. I've killed 12 birds and I could find four of them. I had a bad time finding them. Nearly a dog. Opening day we did good. But after that it hasn't been terrible. Terrible. But the guys I know that have duck clubs and are shooting some of these clubs, they do pretty good, some of them.
Well, I guess so. We haven't had any weather down here to go. I haven't been duck hunting at all. I went out two times goose hunting. I killed one goose.
Yeah. I saw a sight yesterday, or a Saturday would have just knocked your eyeballs out.
Yeah.
We looked off in the distance. It looked like a swarm of locusts, about 5 miles long and Lord knows how many miles thick. And I said, "What is that?" Dick says, "Well, I don't know. What is that?" We just looked like way far off in the distance. And we could hear this noise, you know. I said, "Listen to that noise." And all of a sudden it began to split up a little bit, and a great big black cloud, it moved off to the south, and some of it peeled off and came toward us, and I could begin to make out the sound. You know how they make that? Oh, oh.
Yeah.
And I said, "My God, Dick, that's geese. It's out of this world." I never saw that. I'll tell you that, I never saw that many birds at one time before in my life of any kind of species of anything. It looked like locusts.
Huh.
And maybe only about 500 of them branched out and came over us.
Really high?
And they were too high to shoot at, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the ones off that by, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I just couldn't believe it. Snow geese, I guess. The guys were saying they were snow geese.
Yeah.
But, no, never got any shooting at them. But, the hunting's kind of skinny here in California unless you go a long way. You know, like that duck hunting, we drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to Los Banos. 2.5 hours to Mendota, which is a local duck hunting. To go to Sacramento Valley is even further. So we generally stay in Los Banos, go down here. But it looked like it was going to be good Saturday because it rained like the dickens. We were having a lot of storms, you know, and all that. Nothing. But I'm thinking about going again this weekend.
Well, that's usually when those ducks move around when they fly, is when it's wind blowing and cold, and at least down here. Geese likewise.
Yeah, same here.
Of course, we've had wonderful goose hunting down in Mexico, but I haven't bought a license to even hunt down there for the last 3 years. And I kept thinking I'd get my eyes fixed, and I haven't yet, so that I might get a license to go down there this year. But there's no use. I can't see well enough, and I'm going to... done.
Yeah, I heard you were having a little trouble that way.
Yeah, I couldn't recognize my best friend 50 feet away now.
Is that right?
Without my glasses, I couldn't recognize my best friend 10 feet away.
Hmm. Well, what is the operation supposed to do?
Oh, they take those dang cataracts off of there. They're like a an opaque film over the eyeballs.
Yeah.
And they diffuse the light so your eyes don't focus. And they secondly, they dim the light so you don't look through something that's kind of milky, you know. And colors don't look the same. When I look at a single light without my glasses, like a street light, that's one light, it's, say, a half a block away. It looks like a Ferris wheel, about 30 feet in diameter and about 100 lights all in a big circle.
Nope.
A lot of other lights inside of that one big circle. Yeah. And I look at the moon, I see about 6 moons, even with my glasses on. Without my glasses, I see about 30 or 40 moons.
My goodness. Sounds funny the way you say that, but that ain't too funny, is it?
No, every once in a while I think, man, I ought to take a picture of this so people can see how it looks.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I forget that the camera don't look through my eyes.
Yeah, well, this operation then is to remove cataracts then, isn't it, huh? For both eyes, huh?
Yeah.
How long does it take to recoup from an operation like that?
Well, I don't really know. I haven't found out for sure, but it takes a little while before it gets anywhere back near normal, but you don't have to stay in the hospital about 8 to 10 days on both eyes if they do both at once, and about 4 to 5 days if you do one eye at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, boy, that's a must.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do it. I won't be able to. I was worried last time I was down in Mexico for fear I forgot to take an extra pair of glasses that I had here, and I was thinking, man, if I'd ever lose these glasses, I'd be in a heck of a shape. I wouldn't be able to find my way home.
Yeah, that's a bad situation.
It isn't quite that serious, but, well, it is, really. I could get somebody to kind of guide me a little bit. God.
You know, you make jokes, but I think it's kind of serious, man. That would really worry me if I had to go down there and depend on a pair of glasses like that.
Well, I had an extra pair, and I forgot to put them in my briefcase when I left.
That makes it a little tough to do any kind of hunt, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could see those geese pretty well. That was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah?
And,
well, they're pretty big.
I only shot 2 times on that day. I missed the first shot, killed a goose with the second shot. You can only kill one Canada. Those were Canadas, so I quit right there.
Gee, we're allowed two.
Huh?
We're allowed two here.
Yeah. Well, one time before I was out there and a bunch came over, and I shot one time and 2 came down. I didn't know what the heck to do, but I got out of there with it.
You managed all right, huh? How much those suckers weigh, anyway?
Well, that last one was a nice goose. I guess he weighed about 8 pounds.
Yeah.
There's a number of varieties. The True Canada weighs up to about 12 pounds. But there's a number of subspecies. The Hutchins and Ross goose that are smaller. And I forget the names of all of them.
Boy, 8 pounds, that's a good size goose.
Lesser Canada and Greater Canada. Of course, you kill snow geese. You kill five of those.
Yeah.
If you kill five snow geese, but you couldn't kill anything else but those five. That's the overall limit. But you can only kill one Canada or one speckle belly or one of each. I mean, one of the two. You can't have even one of each.
Yeah.
Getting where it takes a lawyer anymore.
I went pheasant hunting. Got some pheasant here about a year ago on a private ranch. You ever shot pheasant?
Yeah, in Oregon when we lived up there.
Did you?
But I was just a kid.
Pretty good eating bird, too.
Huh?
Pretty good eating bird, too.
Yeah. Boy, they're sure a beautiful bird. They kind of give you the buck fever when they fly up, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they sure do. They're big.
The first time I ever tried to shoot a bird with a shotgun was when I was either 13 or 14 years old, and my dad handed me that. You still have that gun, I hope. That double barrel Spencer?
I had a double barrel Ithaca.
Who's got that double barrel Spencer?
You got me.
Hammerless. Maybe Dick has it.
He's got one old shotgun of yours.
It was in Tucson. It's a hammerless gun with kind of a flowered barrel. You know, the old Damascus barrels with a flowered pattern on them? It was a real fine gun at one time.
Yeah.
At any rate, he had that old gun, and I was pulling away, and I had my finger on the trigger guard instead of the trigger. He razzed heck out of me because I never could get that shot off. The bird flew away. But the first bird I ever killed with a shotgun was a pheasant. And my brother Tommy was with me, and we were walking down the apple orchard, and that old pheasant flew up and went right straight away, and I banged away, and down he went. I never will forget that. Boy, I couldn't have been any happier than if I'd have shot a moose. And Tommy, too, he ran down there and grabbed that gun. The season wasn't open. And he shoved it up under his shirt, under his sweatshirt, ran all the way to the house with it.
I don't know, I'm pretty cool with a shotgun. I don't get buck fever. Ho, ho, ho.
No.
Until the ducks start coming. Or I'll tell you what gives me buck fever is if I see a mallard coming. I never shot a mallard yet.
No.
I shot them, but I never brought one home. Can't find them.
I'll be darned.
Well, it's hard to kill ducks with a 20 gauge when you're shooting long distance shots. Really need a bigger gun. They're coming into decoys, that's one thing. Those long shots are rough.
Yeah. Yeah, and that pass shooting, well, it's pretty
really
rough.
Need a 12 gauge.
You know, I guess I ought to send you a deer head over there. We still have it in the breezeway, and
I'd like to have it.
Yeah, you know, one of these times I'll get that thing crated and send it over there.
I don't know what I'll do with it, but I would like to have it. Yeah, I forgot what it looks like.
It's a beautiful trophy.
Yeah, I know it is. I tell everybody I killed a deer once. Honest, I did. A beauty, too.
Well, I don't know. I just neglected to do anything about that for a long time. I thought, well, maybe I still had at least thoughts of... hopes of you maybe winding up down here, you know, living down here.
Yeah.
And then everything went sour here, almost beyond hope. Oh, it wouldn't have been. I was even thinking still about it this last year. if these guys had done anything like they said they were going to do down there. They supposedly had somebody with money to loan, big money to loan. Well, one guy down there, you remember that Turk, Alfredo Julian?
Yeah.
He got 13 boats over there, and he owes Rubenstein somewhere around $1 million pesos, and so they were going to bail him out. He was going to sell all of his shrimp to Congeladora, and I told him, if you can get Alfredo Julian, get him tied down, well, you got it made. Well, you got the world by the tail with those 13 big boats. But they never came up with that money. And they were going to buy an ice plant and told me they wanted me to find them an ice plant. And I went running all over creation. And then when I finally found a real good buy on an ice plant, they said, well, we don't have the money right now, but we're trying to get a loan. So they're still trying to get a loan.
Well, Federal
Julian,
huh? Big shot, huh?
Yeah. So, I'll get that thing freighted and get it sent down there. By the way, we sent a box, I guess, to Dick's house. I got that receipt in my pocket here. And it has some things for the kiddies. And, we sent the whole thing to Dick's house. You going down there for Christmas?
No, but I'll be seeing him. We're having Christmas at our house. We're having some Paul's relatives over at our house.
We'll
be seeing him to get the stuff. I got a little something for Jamie, but it's still sitting out on the floor of my car. I'll get it in the mail, though.
Well, I sent this by Railway Express. And, trying to see the date on here, but the way they write these things, I can hardly read them. Oh, 12th.
How is Jamie?
She's fine. She's wanting a horse. And about a week ago, she wanted a hearse.
A hearse?
Yeah. Some undertaking parlor here wanted to sell a hearse for $600. She wanted to buy the darn thing.
In the world she want a hearse for? Paul is over here laughing. She wanted a hearse.
Who's laughing?
My wife.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll send you. Can you bring that cassette home?
What?
Can you bring that little cassette tape player home?
Could I?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For an evening.
Oh yeah.
Tell Paul I'll make a tape of that, of a recording that I made on that, and I disguised my voice, called her, and I talked to her for about, most of an hour about that darn thing, and I'll make a tape. She didn't ever know who it was. She didn't know who it was until I played it back about 10 days later, and she finally said, that was you. I'll send you that. Paula can listen to it.
Well,
she's a pretty cute little gal. I have a lot of fun with her. She's ornery as they come. I have a hard time getting her to be serious about schooling and do things like that. But
I saw some pictures of her. She's pretty nice looking.
Yeah, that's for sure. She's a dead ringer for Louise.
Yeah.
In so many ways, her voice is so. It's so much like Louise. Even when I hear that tape recording, I think of Louise. And when she has her glasses off and she's asleep, man, she looks just like Louise used to. I notice it more when she has her glasses off. You know.
She was going here last summer.
I'm gonna see if I can. If she's in there, she was when I made this call. Well, she was with Jane Collet, one of. You remember Jane, I guess. Or I don't know whether she was even...
She was born. A little kid practically in diapers when I was down there.
Right. She's Jamie's age, a few months younger than Jamie. And, she's a little doll now. She's sure a sweetie pie. She spent as much time at our house when they lived next door as most especially on weekends as she did at home. But they moved a couple of miles away from here now, and we don't hear quite as often. But,
you know, Jamie had us all shook up here last summer. She called up, and I thought she was going to come down for a while there.
Well, she wanted to go. She wanted to go over there pretty badly, and it was so late though. By then in the summer that I didn't want her to leave here. Of course, when I was gone, and I did finally let her come down to Mexico City.
Yeah.
And she went down to Carmen with me, and she was gone from here about a week. But I didn't want her to leave here when I was gone, because everything was so indefinite, and I didn't want her mother here alone, you know. So later, when I called from Mexico asked Frances about what she thought about bringing her, letting her come down there. Well, Frances could stay with her mother, and she also had somebody else to stay here with her at the time. So she wouldn't have to be alone. But she was having that heart trouble, but she hasn't had so much of that anymore now.
Really? That's good.
Yeah, she hasn't had one of those attacks for quite a while.
Well, you guys have had your share of medical problems, haven't you?
Yeah. Let me see if I can get both of them in here.
Okay.
Hold it just a minute.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello, Francis.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. How are Paul and the kids?
I guess they're coming.
Okay. We got Francis on the line here.
Oh, is she on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. Jamie's going to get on the line, too.
I forgot you have five phones there.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Francis? No, she was there.
Francis?
Francis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well.
I'm back.
I asked how you were feeling.
No answer. Oh, I've been feeling fine.
Yeah, that's what he said. You haven't had quite so much medical problems as you were having.
No, I haven't.
Well, that's good.
Been doing real well the last few months.
Mm-hmm. You're just being a housewife now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you still have Juana?
Huh?
You still have Juana?
No. We haven't had her in a long time. Been a long time since we had her.
I didn't even know if you'd remember old Juana.
She's still around.
Is she really?
Yeah.
What about some of the other maids? Just ever see now, or you have a different one now, or what? Or do you have one anymore?
Yeah, I have one, but about twice a week.
Oh, I see.
So,
Well, how's your family?
Well,
there's a lot of people down there.
Yeah, everybody I guess that you know that I know are all doing well.
How about Joyce?
She lives in Oakland.
Oakland?
Uh-huh.
That's not in Texas.
No, California. California.
Oakland?
Huh?
Joyce lives in Oakland?
Yeah, she moved to Oakland, California I guess it was around September.
This year. Was there a husband in the service or something?
No. They were living in Canada. And I don't know what kind of work he's doing, but he was transferred to Oakland.
Oh, I'll be darned.
So they're living over there now.
You know what the address there is, huh? Give her a call.
No, I sure don't know it offhand.
She might be down and send it to me.
I think he worked for some chemical company, didn't he, like Dow?
Yeah.
But they were once down in the south in Texas over here, and Dow has a plant over there, so does Union Carbide, several others like that. I don't remember who he worked for. Anyhow, we can send it. I told Bobby. I'm going to send him a recording. I'm going to send him a copy of that thing I was telling him about Jamie's Jamie's conversation about her hearse.
Yeah.
Are you on the line, Jamie?
Yeah.
Well, you don't mind, do you?
No, I guess not.
Well, that's your brother. That's Bobby on the line.
Hello.
It's the first time I've ever heard your voice. Isn't it?
I guess so. How have you been?
I'm fine.
That's
good. It's been a long time since I've seen you, Jamie.
It's been a long time since I've seen you, too.
I think you were only 7 years old or something like that.
Ooh.
Do you remember coming to Santa Cruz?
Well, I have a vague memory of it.
Vaguely, huh?
Mm-hmm.
She must have only been about 7 or 8, I think. How old are you, Jamie? Are you 15?
Oh, I'm 15.
You're 15?
Right.
What grade are you in?
I'm in 8.
You're in the 8th?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to graduate this year, and then you're going to be in the 9th, huh?
Right.
I see. How come you're not doing so hot in your studies?
I am now.
Are you?
Uh-huh. It's just that I've missed a lot.
You miss school a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I've been sick.
Oh, I heard you were sick. What was the matter with you?
Something in my side. The
yeah?
doctor said it was something like a cyst.
Something like a cyst?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have to take it out?
I don't know. He said that he didn't know if it was there or not, and he'd have to do an exploratory. They never did it, so. But it hadn't been giving me that much trouble.
Oh, I see.
Anymore.
So you're back in school now, huh?
Right.
Well, I got you something for Christmas. I'm going to send it to you. I don't know if it's appropriate for a 15-year-old girl, but you'll find out when you get it. Then you can let me know. But it's been a long time since I was 15.
Well.
Any boyfriends?
Not lately.
Not lately?
Not lately.
Oh, my goodness. You sure had us all shook up, Jamie. I thought you were coming out last summer there for a while.
Well, I was, but I guess, I don't know. But I'll probably come this summer for sure.
I wrote you a letter once, and I said, gee, it sounds great about you coming and everything. And, Jamie, we ought to check with the dad and everything. And you never answered me.
I don't know. I've got so many people to write that I never write to.
Well, I didn't, that was the end. I just never heard anymore. I thought maybe you got mad at me.
No, but all right. All right now.
Okay, well, I would just, the only reason I wrote that letter is because I thought maybe you were really serious about coming. I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody was knew what was going on in the thing. But how did you enjoy Mexico?
Oh, it was beautiful. Mexico was raining all the time, but down in Carmen it was beautiful. The climate was right and everything.
Is that the first time you ever went?
Mm-hmm.
It is?
Mm-hmm. I
How
think
is my
so.
Uncle Sonny?
I went, oh, he's fine. Oh, we went 2 years ago. No, 2 years ago. We went when I was 2 years old or something like that. But
2 years old?
Mm-hmm. Or something like that. I don't know how old I was.
Oh, I saw you when you were 3 years old and 2 years old. But you used to get mad at me. You used to hit me with a newspaper.
What'd you do?
What?
What'd you do to make me mad at you?
I don't know. I probably gave you too many kisses or something. Say, when you went down there, did you get to see Nikki? I mean, not Nikki, but, B?
Mm-mm.
And Carmelita?
B? Who's B? You mean Betty? Betty.
Betty.
Betty and Maria.
Yeah, I saw them.
Betty and Maria?
Mm-hmm.
I thought their names were Beatrice and Carmelita.
No, Betty and Maria Carmelita.
Carmelita's
Sonny's wife.
Now, wait a minute. Her name really is Carmelita, Francis.
It is.
And Betty's name is Beatrice, but they call her Betty, and they've called Carmelita told us when we were there that her name was the same as hers, Carmelita, but she's been some people call her Carmelita. In fact, sometimes Maria calls her that, her mother calls her that, but I always call her Maria, and quite a few people call her Maria.
Maria, huh?
Uh-huh.
I'd forgotten. I knew they called her Betty. I'd forgotten that, but I didn't know they called her little one Maria. Well, they must be pretty grown up like Jamie now, huh?
Mm-hmm. Maria and Jamie are the same age.
And Betty's older.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, they're real nice. They're real nice little girls, Bob. They're as sweet as they come. And that little Betty's quite an athlete. And they have worlds of friends. You know, everybody down there. In fact, they got a house full of friends nearly every night we were there. They had people coming over there playing cards, playing ping pong. Oh, Betty's a darn good ping pong player.
Oh, it kind of makes me nostalgic there to think about that. I'd like to go down there again for a visit.
Well,
a grand tour.
Maybe we can get together and take a little viaje over there some of these times.
Yeah, gee,
I never
even get to Los Angeles.
When are you ever going to get down here?
That's the $64 question. To coin a phrase, as I said to Dad before, it's kind of hard to get away from the business. You know, seems like I just never take any time off except like to go back east, you know, where I went back east for that school.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about it.
Well, you get vacations, don't you?
I'm sort of liking business for myself.
Oh,
In other words, I work on a commission deal.
Mm-hmm.
When I work, I get paid. When I don't work, I don't get paid too much.
Yeah.
And get a few dollars put away, I'll come down there. You know, where I can take a couple weeks off, fly down. But I'm not spending a lot of time on the road.
Well,
yeah, I just can't believe you called me up on the phone.
How about?
It's been so long since I heard from you.
Huh?
I said, I just can't believe you called me up on the phone. It's been so long since I've heard from you.
Well, how about saying hello to Paula? She hasn't gone to bed, has she?
No. However, my kids have flaked out.
Yeah, well,
it's wait a minute, here's Johnny.
About 11 o'clock over there now, huh?
Yeah. Johnny wants to know your grandfather? Okay. Come on. I can't be. Paula says she's too bashful to talk to you.
Too bashful?
Yeah, here's Johnny.
Hello?
Hi, Johnny.
Hi.
How are you, son? Atta boy. Are you gonna have a big Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
Atta boy. What are you gonna do for Christmas?
I don't know.
You gonna stay home or are you going someplace?
We're gonna stay home.
Well, that's a nice place to be at Christmas time. Well,
how old are you now, Johnny?
10.
Well, you're getting to be a big boy.
Hello, Johnny.
Hi.
This is Jamie.
You don't know, you don't remember, I guess you don't remember Jamie, but she was over there, Johnny, when that was about 6 or 7 years ago. But you were a little boy then. Pretty small. You remember that when we were over there?
No.
Well, how you doing in school?
Pretty good.
Atta boy. I guess Paul's asleep, huh?
Yeah, he's asleep on the living room floor.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what you do for would you do something for me?
Yeah.
Would you give your mommy a kiss and tell her we wish her a big Merry Christmas?
Okay,
that's a good boy. And
you wanna talk to Dad now?
Yeah, I guess we'll talk to him a little more and then we'll sign off, huh?
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. impressed.
Huh?
My son is impressed.
Was he?
He says, hey, there's three phones in their house. I hear three voices.
Yeah, still the same. Yeah. In that respect.
Yeah. Who sleeps out in the maid's room now? Is that where Jamie sleeps?
Sure.
Sure.
No, I sleep in the doghouse.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know...
That's a better place.
You know, we've talked almost an hour.
Yeah, this is terrible.
I used both sides of a 60-minute tape here, and it's about to run out.
Yeah, your pocketbook's going to run out, too, when you get the bill.
Well, I'll run out. I'll have to leave the country.
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
I sure was nice to have you call. I
sure
was surprised.
Well, in case Johnny forgets to do what I told him, you do it. Give Paula a kiss for us and tell her we sure wish her a Merry Christmas, huh?
Yeah, I sure will.
And that goes for little Paul, too, and Big Bob.
I wish that we could all get together for Christmas. Sure would be nice.
Well, we'll be doing it one of these times, Bob. It won't always be quite so tough, I hope.
Oh, I don't think so. I'd say maybe not in the not-too-distant future.
All right, you got something there. I sure love it.
Yeah.
I sure want to see those kitties.
Yeah, I'd like to see my little sister. I've never seen my little sister since she was very little.
Yeah, and she won't be a little sister too much longer either.
I know it, darn it. I know it. Well, maybe we'll see. Okay, I'll let you guys go. Have a nice Christmas.
Okay, same to you, Bob.
Yep.